Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn number 25, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome on a very warm morning to our Children's Day service, our Children's Sunday School Prize Giving. And it's wonderful to see our young people with us this morning and their teachers. And it's also a great pleasure this morning to welcome our new curate, the Reverend Ryan Hawke, for his first Sunday here with us. So Ryan, you're very welcome among us also. And welcome too to your wife, Sarah, who's down at the back. So it's lovely to have everybody with us this morning. Hopefully on your way, and you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Most of our regular weekly activities are happening. I just wanted to draw attention in particular to this coming Saturday morning between 9 and 11. We're having the monthly work party around the grounds of the church where we try to get those jobs done each month just to keep our maintenance on top of the maintenance. So if you can come and help us between 9 and 11, we're always grateful for those who can come and help us. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, a service of wholeness and healing at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. In the pews this morning are some envelopes on behalf of the Church of Ireland Bishop's Appeal. The bishop has asked each parish in the diocese to hold a special collection next Sunday for the situation in the Middle East. And there are a number of organizations working on the ground, Tear Fund, and the Diocese of Jerusalem run a hospital in Gaza City. And so our collection in response to the terrible events of the Middle East is going to be next Sunday. And those envelopes are in the pews. If you want, you can take one away. If you're not in a position to do so, don't feel in any way obliged to do so. But just to let you know, those envelopes are in the pews this morning. Later in our service, we look forward to recognizing the endeavors of all our children and young people through Sunday school and through our youth group. But we're going to begin our service. You'll find all the responses on the screen, or if you prefer to follow in the prayer book, our service begins on page 101. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for this morning's service is a psalm that speaks of longing for God. And we're going to stand and we're going to say the psalm together. Psalm number 42 on page 640 if you're following in the prayer book. As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, even for the living God. When shall I come before the presence of God? My tears have been my bread day and night, while all day long they say to me, "Where is now your God?" Now, when I think on these things, I pour out my soul, how I went with the multitude and led the procession to the house of God, with the voice of praise and thanksgiving among those who kept holy day. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? O put your trust in God, for I will yet give him thanks, who is the help of my countenance and my God. My soul is heavy within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from Hermon and the hills of Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the thunder of your waterfalls. All your breakers and waves have gone over me. The Lord will grant his loving kindness in the daytime. Through the night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? And why go I so heavily while the enemy oppresses me? As they crush my bones, my enemies mock me, while all day long they say to me, "Where is now your God?"
Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? O put your trust in God, for I will yet give him thanks, who is the help of my countenance and my God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to be seated. We're coming now to the part of our service where we are going to present some prizes to our Sunday school pupils and to members of the youth group. But before we do that, I really want to say on all our behalf a huge word of thanks to all our Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. I always feel that group of people are among the quiet heroes of the church, because week in, week out, that's where they're to be found, over in our church hall, trying to pass on that wonderful gift of faith to our young people. So we are indebted to you for all that you do, and we're also indebted to all our children and to you as parents for bringing them along. Because it's such a wonderful privilege for us to get to share that gift of faith with all our children and young people. So we have some prizes for members of the Sunday School, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite them to come up individually, and then after they've all received their prizes, we can applaud them as they receive those prizes. So first up from our Sunday school, I have a special prize for Orla Johnston, if she's here. And next up, we have a special prize for Matthew Kidd. If Matthew's. And next, we have Emily Kidd. Next up, we have James McManus. And then we have William McManus. And now we have a prize for Brady Saunders. So we also have some special gifts that we want to give to members of our youth group. Some of our youth group were confirmed in the past year, so it's been a special year for many of our youth group. And I'm going to invite them, maybe if they all came together. So I'm going to read the names, and then I have some gifts for you if you'd like to come forward. So we have one for Catherine Campbell, for Jack Carty, for Ella Carty, for Jack Crawford and Thomas Crawford, for Connor Pierce, Lewis Robinson, Harry Robinson, Solomon Sabu, Elijah Saunders, and Robin Young. I've also two further awards to give out this morning with our Sunday School prizes in our group, our youth group. And these are for two boys who have completed their Duke of Edinburgh Bronze Award over the past year. And so before we invite them up to receive their Bronze Award, we want to say thank you too to all our BB leaders. And in particular, we want to thank Philip, who has overseen the Duke of Edinburgh section of things over the past year. So I'm going to invite Connor and Solomon to come and receive their bronze awards from the Duke of Edinburgh. So well done to all our youth group and Sunday school, and congratulations to all. We're going to sit now as Tim brings our Old Testament reading for this morning.
Today's reading starts at Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at the first verse. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram."
So we're going to respond to our Bible reading as we sing again from the church hymnal, hymn 325, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord."
Thank you.
And if you'd like to be seated for our New Testament reading.
Our New Testament reading begins in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here ends the reading.
Stand together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today is a prayer that just reminds us of our need for God's help and his grace in our lives. God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments, we may please you, both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us, that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we're always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together to sing again hymn 368, Sing of the Lord's Goodness.
Thank you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, it is an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning. You're probably wondering, who is this big, tall fella standing there at the pulpit? I'm the new curate here in St. Finian's. My name is Ryan, and it is an honor and privilege to be with you this morning. And I look forward to getting to know each of you in the next few years. Now, I won't wait a few years to meet some of you. I'll try sooner than that. But I'll be here for a while, and I'm looking forward to that. But as I thought about this, and as I'm the new person here, I imagine you're probably wondering some things. You know, I'm the new guy. You're probably quite curious about me. Who am I? Where have I come from? What am I like? So essentially some identity questions. You wonder the things that interest me, the things that keep me ticking, the things that I like to do, and as an identity structure, well, I can give you a few things. I'm Ryan. I'm from America originally. Don't hold that against me. My darling wife is Sarah, and she's here this morning. And I extend the apologies of my parents, who were actually also in country for a bit, and my two boys, who have all come down with that dreadful cough. I will say this, though. The stress is a little bit less, because it's hard enough to come into a new parish and preach, let alone do so in front of your parents. So they send their apologies. But I, as a curate, am actually equally curious about you, right? I'm coming in as a new guy, but you're all new to me as well. And so I probably have some of the same questions. What are you like? What things do you like to do? What sort of things make you tick? And I think that this morning our epistle reading gives us some insight as to how we might be able to understand each other. The first thing I want you to think about from this is that this story is so much bigger than us. It reads, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under law until faith would be revealed." The law was the disciplinarian before Christ came. Well, what is all of that? Well, if we know Scripture and we look back at the big picture, and even the way the Apostle Paul is writing in and talking about this to a group of Christians in Galatia, this adoption, Abraham's offspring being heirs, what does that even mean? Well, it's a lovely story. And it starts with Adam. And we know that God has this relationship and this covenant that he's established. And all throughout the Old Testament, there's these pictures of how God interacts and engages with his people. He has a law set for them to live a certain way. And we see Noah, and then this covenant with Abraham that he makes in Genesis chapter 12, where he says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to the whole earth." So far, so good. Well, by the end of Genesis, they've sold it all off, and they end up enslaved in Egypt. That lasted really long. And so we then have Moses, and this picture of Moses and the covenant that God establishes, and the law is handed down, and he goes to the top of the mountain, and he's given the law, and he says, "You shall live this way, and you shall be a nation like no other for the sake of the other. You will be holy, and you will let the whole world know that I am your God, and you are my people." We know from reading in the Old Testament that they didn't do very well at that either. And then they decide they want a king, and they get Saul and then David. And God establishes another covenant with the Israelites through David. And so as the story progresses, and then after David, we get this new covenant with Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. But before Jesus, the law was the way folks had a relationship with God. And what Paul's writing here is, before faith came, we had to follow certain rules. The bad news, they were not very good at following the rules. How many of you are really good at following rules? I don't see any hands. That must mean you're not very good at following the rules. which probably means you're like me. I had a hard time following rules. Still do sometimes. But the good news, friends, is that Christ has come so that we can be justified by faith. It's actually our belief in who Jesus is and what he has done that grafts us into this story. And so if the first thing is that the story is bigger than we are, the second thing is that all we have to do is believe in who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's come to fulfill the law and asks us to be a part. At the end, it says, you belong to Christ. You are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So that means we're all adopted into this story, going all the way back to Abraham. That's a really lovely thing. And it means that we are not prescribed to the law because Christ has fulfilled it. Now we get to the heavy parts. The identity thing, right? When you read this in verse 28, Paul says to them, there's no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. In our time and our place and our culture, this is a really significant thing, isn't it, friends? Because for Paul to write this to the Galatians, they're dealing with a context of Jews and Gentiles and this extra prescription of what they have to do to fulfill it. Do you have to follow the law as well if you're a Greek? Well, no, it's something totally different than that. So for us, we look at it, and what does it mean, no longer Jew or Greek? Well, today for us, friends, it's about race. I don't care what race you are. The fact of the matter is, as I stand before you, friends, as an immigrant, am I any different than an immigrant who comes from Africa or the Middle East? I'm welcome here. Why not others? When I look at slave nor free, it's about class, rich versus poor. Some are wealthy and some are not. But all are welcome, are they not? The feast at the table. We see this as the picture Paul creates in 1 Corinthians. The haves and the have-nots are all gathered together around the table as one people, male or female. Doesn't matter if you're a boy or you're a girl. You are one of God's creatures. There's no hierarchy. There's no looking at one saying, oh, you're more valuable than the other. It doesn't matter. You are needed, you are necessary, and you are a part of God's holy people. And so the third thing, if this story is bigger than us and our faith in Jesus allows us to be a part, the thing you need to hear this morning is that we are all one in Jesus. We may have our identity things that separate us. I'm an American, I love rugby, I like rock and roll. All of those things define who I am. But what takes precedent, friends, is that I'm one in Christ. That defines who I am, that defines my ministry, that defines how I walk in the door in St. Finian's. Everything that I do is for Christ. And that's the picture that I, as a minister, want to lay before you and welcome you along to journey together with me and with Jono and with yourselves as we are all called to bear witness to this Jesus. And so, friends, we are grafted in to that bigger story. Some things don't change. The Israelites were called to be a people like no other for the other. We are called to be the same, a people like no other for the other. And Jesus gives us this picture that's reminiscent of what God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord your God is one. You'll have no other gods before me. You'll wear this on your sleeve. You'll bind it to your eyes. You will live and breathe. All things will be done in the context of your faith. This is our identity, friends. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. What separates us? A lot. But what pulls us close together is that we are all one in Christ Jesus. And I look forward to gathering with you and experiencing that with you over the coming days and years. Let us pray. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Gracious Lord, we come to you with rejoicing in our hearts for the grace that you have given us, for our adoption into your family. No matter what may be bringing us joy, comfort, sadness, or despair, we know that you are with us and that we can truly give thanks to you in all circumstances because of Christ. So help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength in doing this. Help us then to love our neighbors as ourselves. We thank you for your perfect law of love. And help us to live according to your commandments, as they are the proper way to find peace, joy, contentment, and life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the church and its witness of your kingdom in the world. We pray that the fellowship would increase, that mission would be proactive, and that the harvest would be plentiful. Help restore relationships, to move on from disagreements and flourish by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that a common vision upon all that profess your name would be found on the island to preach the gospel and to love our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. Living God, your Son, Jesus Christ, lived and worked in this world. He knew its hatred and its war, its disease and its sin. Help us all to find a way out of complacency towards mercy and progress, a way out of division to harmony, a way out of selfishness to cooperation, a way out of death to life. Grant our leaders wisdom, restraint, and a desire for fair and just dealing. We think of all of the wars and conflicts in Israel, Palestine, Gaza, Iran, Russia, Ukraine, Nigeria. There are too many to name, Lord. Channel the strong desire for peace among many people into useful and constructive ways of peacemaking, and bring your own rule of peace among those created in your image through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we lift up our own parish. We pray for fellowship amongst ourselves. We pray that our gathered events would be fruitful for deeper discipleship and love with you, Lord. But also that we would grow significant, deep knowledge of each other to encourage one another towards your love and bear witness with the goodness of your love to the world. Lord, in your mercy. God, whose mercy and compassion never fails, look kindly upon the suffering of all mankind, the needs of the homeless, the anxieties of prisoners, the pains of the sick and the injured, the sorrows of the bereaved, the McCurley family, the loss of Pat, the helplessness of the aged and the weak. And in a moment of silence, we bring our needs and the needs of our loved ones to you. Comfort and strengthen them for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. The things, good Lord, that your servants have prayed for, give us grace to work for. And in the purpose of your love, both answer our prayers and prosper our endeavors. For Jesus Christ, our Savior's sake. And we gather all of our thoughts, our prayers, our hopes, our fears, our anxieties, our joys into the prayer that our Lord has taught us to pray as we pray together, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So as we think of how we have all been made one in Christ Jesus, we're going to sing together the hymn of our offering, hymn 112, There Is a Redeemer. So just before our final blessing, a couple of quick reminders. The first is that everybody's welcome to some tea and coffee over in the church hall after our service. And the second is to just remind people, or maybe inform you if you haven't heard yet, we look forward on Wednesday, the 2nd of July, to a very special concert here in church when the choir of Wadham College, Oxford, are going to come and sing an evening concert on the evening of Wednesday, the 2nd of July. It's a free concert. There will be a retiring offer to cover the choir's expenses, but we look forward to that very special evening on Wednesday week, the 2nd of July, a lovely Midsummer's concert. We're going to bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is a hymn of praise, hymn 250. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.